And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Had a good weekend. Joe Rex Road, how are you? What's going on?
I had a pretty good weekend because I didn't get caught in Garth Brooks traffic. So, but apparently I'm the only one here that can say that.
I cannot say the same thing. I did not anticipate getting caught up in Garth Brooks traffic, but my wife and I got some last-minute tickets on Saturday. You know, look, full disclosure, I think we've talked about this here on the show before. I'm not a huge concert guy. Like, I don't dislike going, but I've never, like, you know what I really want to do tonight? Go to a concert. I enjoy myself when I'm there, but it's one of those things to me. So, you know, we get tickets. My wife talks me into going, so we're going. I've seen Garth. I'm excited to see Garth. I leave my house, which is in Greenbrier, Tennessee, at 5 o'clock, okay? And we got to pick a couple of people up along the way, which is fine. So we get down to East Nashville at approximately 6, leave from a spot in East Nashville that's about, I would say, 13 to 15 minutes away from Nissan Stadium normally. So, you know, pretty easy drive on over. Left that spot at 6 o'clock. I got to the Nissan Stadium parking lot of Lot C at 8:15. It took me 2 hours and 15 minutes to get over to a spot in Nissan Stadium that takes normally 15 minutes. It took me an additional 2 hours. It was unbelievable. I've never experienced anything like it.
So what's the explanation of
this? I don't know. I really don't, because that's what we were trying to figure out sitting in the car. It's not like this is the first time that this place has hosted a concert or that a big event with a large crowd has taken place. So,
like, were there a bunch of accidents?
No.
Because of the weather?
No. The weather at this point was not a factor,
right,
even getting there.
Right.
So I don't know what was going on. But I'm telling you, from, and if you're in East Nashville listening, from Woodland Street over to Shelby Avenue, it was, I mean, you would have been better off crawling. It was unbelievable how much traffic was there.
And then
I get there.
And then no show.
Yeah, then I get there at 8:15 and the bottom falls out. And let me tell you, the view from the parking lot, and I have never in my life seen as much lightning as I did Saturday night. There was an incredible amount of lightning out there. So I'm glad I stayed in the car. And then we went home.
And you went home.
Yeah, I made an
before.
Oh yeah,
you knew.
Made an executive decision that this concert's probably not going to happen. So we just went and beat people out of the parking lot. And I think people in the traveling party may have been a little upset at first. And then 15, 20 minutes later, the official word comes out from Nissan Stadium that the concert is canceled. So I looked pretty good then.
Smart decision.
Yeah.
Tested the patience a lot this weekend.
Oh yeah.
A lot.
Yep.
And then it was supposed to be last night.
Yeah, and then I guess they couldn't get enough moving parts to come together with the workers and the police force and all that. So probably it's better at that point to just go ahead and try to find a date that works. But let me tell you this. If you want to find some entertainment, go to like the Nissan Stadium Facebook page or the Nissan Stadium Twitter feed.
Oh, yeah.
And just read the replies of those things rolling in from people from Nissan Stadium canceling and then postponing. There's some good ones in there.
Yeah, some good mentions. Yeah, someone retweeted the Twitter one, the announcement.
Yeah.
I did see some people, like, you know, kind of fighting back, you know, on the behalf of,
you know,
it's tough.
I don't know what – it's weather, right? I mean, when you have an outdoor venue, you can't just leave people in the stadium. Trust me, lightning was everywhere. I mean, it was crazy to watch. So I think – deep down, everybody understands that part. It was, I guess, from people coming in out of town, maybe it would have been easier to just go ahead and do it tomorrow night. But there's a lot of things that go into that, as we found out the other day. So,
yeah. So, no idea when the...
I have not yet seen a date.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still waiting on Pearl Jam.
So, yeah, exactly.
You know. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, so I'm glad you didn't go to that. You saved yourself a lot of frustration the other night.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if free tickets would have emerged, you know,
Yeah, that's why I was there.
Stuck in, yeah, you know. I'm sure it would have been a great show. Will sure be at some point.
Who won our contest? Remember our singer? Remember our karaoke guy who won?
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Feel bad for him.
Oh, shoot. That's right.
Tickets
what
the will
heck
still be
that
valid.
Guy's name?
The tickets
Joe?
Will still be valid.
Was it Joe?
Yeah, I think it was Joe. Yeah.
Is that right?
The tickets will still be there.
Well, if you're listening to Joe, yeah. Sorry, buddy. Yeah.
It'll
yeah,
still work.
Yeah, they'll work. It'll happen. It'll happen.
At some point.
Hey, you two was supposed to play Spartan Stadium in the summer of 2010. More excited for that concert than any ever. Got canceled. Bono's back was acting up. A year later, it was even better. It was even better a year later. Another year of anticipation.
That's right.
So there
just
you go.
Building it back up.
That's right.
Michelle, did you get stuck in traffic in the Garth Brooks concert, or were you stuck inside the stadium? How'd that go for you?
How about this one for you, Robbie? Right, 2 hours for you to drive 15 minutes. Mine was a mile and a half drive.
Oh, yeah.
2 hours, 15 minutes. And at that point, you know, me and shout out my best friend Peyton, who was driving, because her patience was, I couldn't do it. And then her gas light went on.
Oh, that's right? Not good.
Oh, boy.
So 2 hours, gas light's on. We're just laughing at this point because it's just comical, right? Like, okay, so we get to the concert. We're like, okay, this is going to be great. Okay, we get there at like 7. We were there for a work thing. We were in a suite with her work people. It's fine. Then we're like, oh, we see some lightning in the distance. We're like, so I wonder what the protocol is, you know, for Nissan Stadium. What do those people do? And then it's like, okay, take cover, like go
everyone
emergency.
Get out.
They all run, right? I'm like kind of freaking out because the wind, it was an intense storm.
It was
storm.
Intense, yeah.
Intense.
It was no joke.
And then they start filling the stadium back up. We're like, okay, we're going to have a good night. It's going to be great. And then it starts raining again, and then they cancel it. So then we wait, and we're like, okay, let's get to our cars. We wait like 30 minutes. Then we start walking. Couldn't find our car. Couldn't find the car, like so bad.
One.
Then it just starts downpouring. So we're just in the rain standing there, cannot find our car. We're just like, what is happening right now? Then we find the car, and then it takes us like an hour and like 40 minutes to get home.
Whoa. Oh, yeah. With the gas light on already.
Oh, no. Yeah, so the gas light was on, and then we found a gas station like right outside of Nissan, and it was so funny because all these people from the concert were just sitting under the gas station because it was the only awning that there was. And they're like, we can't get Ubers. We can't get home. So then we got gas, and then it took us like an hour and 30 minutes to get home. But I just thank God I wasn't driving because I don't know if I could have done it. My best friend Peyton, her patience was on another level. But
mine wasn't.
Yeah, we're all safe, you know. It's not the worst thing. I think it was character building, but if it was going to happen last night, I couldn't go back. A little PTSD from that whole concert situation.
I may or may not have gotten into a few verbal altercations on Shelby Avenue.
Road rage Robbie.
Yeah. may or may not have happened.
Road rage Robbie. It's real.
I will say this. To kind of illustrate what was going on, we were on Shelby Avenue, which, of course, it's in East Nashville. It's going right to the stadium. It's where you turn right into the parking lot in the stadium. We were stuck in the same spot for so long that the car behind us, two people got out, walked about, I would say, 3/4 of a mile down the street to the Exxon station, bought some beer, walked all the way back to the car, and sat down back in the car. And we didn't move once the whole time.
Wow, man. Well, good for them. You know, I was thinking about the Uber thing, too, and someone was tweeting out, like, Uber prices. I remember, was it Luke Bryan? Played a couple years ago, right? Nissan Stadium?
Yeah.
So we just happened to be out, Katie and I, downtown that night, and we were just going to, like, Uber home. And this was like an hour and a half after the concert, and I swear it was like $300 Ubers for what would normally be like $30. So basically, you know, stayed out 3 more hours. Because, you know, we weren't going to pay that. But, man, it must have been just a nightmare with everything else and the Uber prices the other night. My gosh.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Steven texting in, first mistake, parking at the stadium. Always park in the city and walk. 15-year season ticket holder, got free parking passes once, never again. Now, I will say, normally I agree with Steven. I did get parking passes for free, so I felt like it was my duty to use those parking passes. Now,
There probably is no good solution.
There was nowhere. Right? Yeah. Saturday night, it didn't matter. I could have parked in Murfreesboro and probably gotten there quicker than anywhere in downtown Nashville. It was...
I don't get why it was that way. There has to be like some logistical gaffe.
Now, you know,
right?
they've got stuff up for the Music City Grand Prix. So maybe, like, maybe that's it. And some things
are
closed down.
I'm sure that was a factor.
But my goodness, I mean, it is unbelievable. Let's go back to the text line. Got a texture that says, "Hey, Robbie, how do you spell lightning? Asking for a friend." That was a big discovery point for me on Saturday night. There are a lot of people out there that can't spell the word lightning.
Are they spelling it with an E?
There's no E in the word lightning.
Right.
And there's
people
are spelling it with an E. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lightning.
You guys are losers.
Yeah.
L-O-O-S-E-R-S.
Yes. Lightning does not have an E in it, folks. There was, I would say, of the tweets that I saw, greater than 70% of them had the E in them.
That's weird. Like, I don't remember that being a thing, but I've noticed that, too.
Yeah.
Also, the people in the concert, while it was raining, like in the stadium, obviously everybody was like drunk and stuff for the concert, they were just screaming. And then people were going into the stands when it was just hailing and downpouring rain and just fully embracing it.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I mean, I guess if that's what you want to do, but... It was pretty intense.
How was the suite? Was the suite like you had some, you know,
the
good times in the suite? Okay.
The suite was sweet. Free food, yeah. Best chicken tenders. So it was great. Free food, free alcohol, free. And then hopefully it happens again so that I can go back.
Yeah. Ryan Porth texting in. Parking at Music City Center was perfectly fine for him and Amanda. Took 40 minutes from Mount Juliet to downtown at 4:30. Well, that's just further confirmation that I would have fought Porth on Saturday night. Because he would have said that.
So was it the half hour of the difference, maybe?
I mean, I guess. I know this. Chris Martel, our buddy, was stuck on like the off-ramp at Shelby Avenue for over an hour. Just the off-ramp off the interstate. So that's basically how that went. It was a fun time.
Of course, he's coming from an hour away, too. So
that's true.
Kmart. Anybody call him Kmart?
Kmart? I don't know. I'm sure somebody has. Oh, it's got to be, right?
I've never thought of that.
It makes perfect sense.
That's the first time I've ever thought of that.
It makes perfect sense.
That's what I'm calling you from now on, Martel. Kmart.
That's right. We are off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Another point last night for Nashville SC, by the way. So they are unbeaten in their last 8 consecutive matches.
And one loss all year.
Yeah, one loss all year. Continue to rack up those draws. The points just keep coming for Nashville SC.
If we had done weekend winners, you know that would have been.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a win for both of us.
Been a go-to at that point. We'll see if they can keep that unbeaten streak going. A lot of road games coming up this month for Nashville SC as well. So something to keep an eye on that front. Good to see soccer back in Canada last night. They were actually able to play the game across the border.
First time they've been there.
Exactly. So really, really cool stuff last night from Nashville SC. As well. When we come back, we will get into the Tennessee Titans, some observations from Joe Rexroad from training camp, and already some moves made by the Titans as well. We'll get to all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, Titans training camp getting back underway today at 9:30 on the field. No Titans on the field yesterday. Were on the field on Saturday, but back today at 9:30 today, which you'll be at coming up a little bit later here in the show. But what stood out so far through the first few days of training camp? I hear things got a little spicy on Saturday on the field.
They did get spicy. That's when
training camps really started.
Yeah, just hot and miserable. And, man, Nate Davis isn't afraid of anybody. Nate Davis and, let's see, the first time there's kind of, you know, body scuffing, some pushing and shoving, Nate Davis comes out with Tier Tart's helmet in his hand. All right. A few plays later,
it's like
same
Braveheart.
Thing. Yeah, same thing, scuffling. Nate Davis comes out, Jeffrey Simmons helmet in his hand. Like, oh, Nate Davis. But that was actually, so we're sitting there with all the, you know, all the other media types on the sideline. This is late in the practice and they're running team. and they put on, you know, they kind of go on and off with the music. Sometimes during team they don't play it. During all the stretch stuff, they play it really loud, but they put the music on. And actually, so they put it on, and then right then that first scuffle happens, and TD is over to my right, and he's like jumping up and down. He's so excited. Then afterward, I'm like, what was that song? Like, what was – he's like, I don't know what that song was because, like, both of us, you know, like old school hip-hop and don't know new stuff very well. But,
yes.
But it was cool. I can tell you that. That was, you know, the intensity is rising. Today's the last day with no pads. So tomorrow will be the first day of pads. And you start to get a little bit better feel for you know, the bigger fellas. But so far, what's standing out? I mean, two guys who are – standing out, who I say absolutely believe in this, and I'm trying to be careful because I'm basically writing this for tomorrow, so you know, I don't want to like totally write, say everything.
Sure.
But one is, I mean, AJ Brown, man, the guy is, it's amazing to think of again what he did last year and then how he looks now. It is different. It's different. He's healthy, and he's just, you know, it's third year. I think you see that. That's around the time for some. And he said he feels like he's more like year five or six mentally in terms because of how much he studies the game. We've talked about that many times. It's not just lip service. He's known in the building as a guy who, like Byard, doesn't leave anything to chance. He goes way beyond the norm of, okay, here's the film. Let's break down. Okay, and go run routes, do the jugs machine. He digs in on the game. It matters. But also just he's so explosive. I said it the other day. I'll say it right here. He looks like T.O. He looks like T.O. to me right now. Okay? So all the hyperbole you can throw out there. Now, he threw out some hyperbole.
He did.
And that as soon as he – like, it was hilarious. And then I was like, man, everybody's got to calm down with this stuff. Racy McMath has certainly been one of the stories at camp. There's no doubt. And he looks really good. He's big. He's fast. He's – faster than he should be at his size, and I like his chances to make this team. And at this point, I would also guess he'll get very few reps at receiver unless there are injuries. So you got to keep that in mind. But yes, AJ Brown with Julio Jones standing in the back of the press conference said that he has Julio upside, said that of Racy McMath.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, everybody wrote that down, and we all laughed. But yeah, you got – it's that time for – that's the time of year for things like that.
It's talking season.
It is talking season, yeah. But another guy that I would say isn't just talk is Anthony Firkser. Anthony Firkser is a guy who has responded exactly as you would hope to an opportunity that he would not have thought possible a couple years ago. But it's here, and he's taking advantage of it. And he just looks really good running routes. He's bigger, stronger. And he's going to have a chance to make some plays this year. I mean, I think you think of those matchups. Again, anybody not named Henry Jones Brown, matchups are going to be – situations are going to be real nice. And he – you know, again, he and Tannehill, as we know, they really built a chemistry when Tannehill was backing up Mariota in 2019. And it has maintained since then. And – I think he's due for – I don't know. It's hard to say, like, due for a big year because there's one football. But he looks awfully good, and he looks ready to be tight end one. And then I think, you know, we're going to talk more about tight end later, but they've sort of fortified the blocking side of the position too. I mean, he's going to do more of that. He's going to be in line more, but he's still going to mostly be, like, what he is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And as you said, some moves made on that front as well. We'll get to that coming up here in just a few minutes. But also a move made at a position – that we've spent a lot of time talking about here on the show, and that is at kicker. Blake Hawbill placed on waivers yesterday, and the Titans have claimed Sam Ficken from the New York Jets, who now comes in to battle Tucker McCann for the kicking job here with the Titans. Didn't take the Titans very long to make a move on that front, and you brought it up Saturday. Another kind of a struggle day for the kickers out there on the field on Saturday, and that was enough for the Titans to move on from Blake Hawbill at that point, and now they've brought in Sam Ficken, who was placed on waivers by the Jets as well. So some moves being made on the Titans front, and to me, this just continues to signal, I don't know, like Stephen Gostkowski going to walk through the door at some point? Like I continue to think that's the most likely outcome here. But I know this, listening and watching to the reaction of Titans fans yesterday when Sam Ficken came in, like, if he can't kick for the Jets, what makes you think he could kick for the Titans? There was a whole lot of that flying around yesterday.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because the Jets signed Matt Amendola, okay, and released Ficken. Now, Ficken actually, like, he was good. He was 13 of 15 last year. You know,
I think he was 12 of 15 on extra points.
Yeah, his extra points, like he's 49 of 56 in his career. He's 87% of his extra points, which is not great. But he's 35 of 48 on field goals, so that means that he was 22 of, look at me doing math, 33 before last year, which isn't great. Penn State guy, people may remember him from Penn State. But again, 13 of 15 last year is certainly, I mean, you compare that to the resume of Hallbell and McCann.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an upgrade. So now he comes in to compete with McCann. Hallbell just, you know, the other day, Hallbell actually was better technically than McCann. He was 4 for 5. McCann was 3 for 5. But Hallbell, again, was, I mean, he's just, it's funny. You got a hooker and a slicer there, right? He's hooking.
It's like my golf game on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Just all over the place.
Yeah. And his 50-yarder was just a shank, basically. He just hasn't looked consistent. McCann hasn't looked very good, but more consistent.
Yep.
And the other day, you know, he's 3 for 5 and he misses 33 or 37, 33, I think, to start the session. It's like, man, like he just.
That can't happen.
If you can't, you know, if you can't be consistent in these moments, there is pressure. But, like, how can you count on? And again, neither of these guys, obviously Hobble, undrafted rookie, but McCann has never participated in an NFL game, including a preseason game. So at this point, McCann hanging in there. He hangs in there. And Ficken, I would make him the favorite as a guy who's actually had success to some extent in the NFL level.
But do you really feel confident?
But do you feel good about that? No, no. I mean, not really. No. Stephen Gostkowski, to me, still seems like the better option, but maybe Ficken comes in and just is lights out and grabs the job. It's interesting, though, like the Jets move to just dump him and go to this Matt Amendola, who was undrafted a year ago out of Oklahoma State. He was with the Panthers. He was a very good college career, but like that kind of tells you they're just not seeing the kind of consistency you need to see from Ficken. So we'll see. But to me, it's probably just the next guy until they figure out who can be a consistent kicker for a team that wants to be a contender.
I'll say this. John Robinson's made a lot of really good moves, and you know, he's had some duds along the way as well. This kicker thing has been a real problem the last couple of years. Like, this is something they got to get figured out. Like, you can't keep doing this all the time and just playing the kicking carousel game all the time. And this is unbelievable.
Well, it's hard because, you know, guys like Ficken are out there. And sometimes the light goes on for a guy like Ficken. I mean, you can see examples of kickers in this league who bounced around a little bit before they found their groove.
Cairo Santos.
There you go. But at some point, you know, sometimes teams are like, well, we're just going to have to use a third-round pick because we can't find one. And that may be the case at some point. But if Gostkowski is in shape and ready to rock, living in Franklin, you know the way to the facility, man.
Just get in there whatever you want.
I said it before camp. I'm saying it right now. We'll see with Ficken, but that's still my favorite to be on the 53.
I would say at this point, Titans fans would feel pretty confident about that based on the other options that are currently available to them. So see what happens on that front. We'll see. Are we going to start a Stephen Gostkowski watch? We're going to have like the Pelissero watch on Twitter like we had last year. Just
like people watching his house?
Yeah, just like what's going to happen? Like people in bushes seeing what Gostkowski's up to?
Yeah, well, we love the real estate
news
to break sports news. You know, bought this condo here, selling his house, got his house. Hey, the Aaron Rodgers thing was true.
Turned out to be good.
He got his house deep clean.
Yeah, he did. He's back in there.
So now we can see if, you know, like if Gostkowski is, You know, and even, like, is he going to the gym or is he, like, going out for pizza? Like, is he serious or not? Yeah. We need to start spying on. Let's put Stillman on the case.
See what he can get done on that point. Jared, go out there. See what you can get figured out. When we come back, another move made by the Titans over the weekend at a position of need that we've identified here on the show. Are the Titans done at the tight end position after the move they made over the weekend? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Talking Titans and training camp underway. Moves already being made by the Tennessee Titans. And we've talked about the kicking position. Moves made at tight end as well. Now, Briley Moore out with a tough-looking injury on Saturday. Had to get carted off the field. And obviously, I mean, nobody wants to see that. Very tough start for Briley Moore. A kid that, you know, you've talked about it. TD's talked about it as well. A guy that was showing some promise out there, and all indications are that injury didn't look very good.
Well, they picked up Luke Stocker that morning.
Yep.
And I threw a little thing on the Athletic. We have, like, the real time, basically they're like tweets. I said, here's my new tight end projected room. It's Firkser, Stocker, Swaim, and Briley Moore. Briley Moore has clearly been the best of the, you know, if you want to put him in a group of three undrafted guys who are in there competing, to me, clearly the best. Forrest Dahl from Alabama, Jared Pinkney from Vanderbilt. Briley Moore, and certainly guy that had a lot of production at K-State, has looked good. Now, that move still made it tougher for him, and probably even if he made the team tougher to get on the field. But yeah, just one of those. He made a catch in, I think it was 7-on-7, but right near us, goes down immediately, clutching the knee, screaming. You know, it's one of those things where, like, everybody knows, and Vrabel runs over there and is kind of grabbing his shoulder and trying to calm him down, and, you know, they bring the card out. It's just, you hate to see that stuff. So I still think, you know, that's a kid with a future, got a chance to play in this league, but IR now, and so that tight end room all of a sudden looks very different than it did going into the weekend, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Now Luke Stocker coming into the fold as well. Obviously, Titans fans are already familiar with Luke Stocker, formerly of the Tennessee Volunteers as well, and Stocker playing with the Titans just a couple of years ago. And I know a lot of people, when he was signed, the first thing they thought of was the 4th-and-1 play that Matt LaFleur decided to hand the ball to Luke Stocker on a handoff, which that went over well at the time. Matter of fact, when Matt LaFleur got hired by the Packers, that's the one play everybody kept talking about. Like, oh, the Packers hired the guy that handed the ball off to Luke Stocker on 4th-and-1. How about that?
That's what Packer Nation was talking about?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, Packer Nation, Titans Nation, everybody.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Infamous. But, hey, I remember that night. Yeah. Vrabel's like, you know, the film looked good on that play.
Yeah.
Zach Cunningham, another Vandy guy, just ran over there and blew it up. Yes, that he'll always be remembered for that. But it's also amazing the Falcons-Titans back and forth that seems to always happen. It's like they're each other's, you know, like
just farm club.
Built in, yeah. I don't know who's the farm club for who. I guess the Falcons are farm club now.
I guess so.
But, I mean, I like the signing. I mean, I kind of have wondered, Michael Pruitt, why would you not want, you know, Michael Pruitt back after what he's done? They moved on, but now you got someone who knows the system and certainly fits the bill of blocking tight end.
Well, it kind of feels like to me, and I don't know whether or not you agree, that they're done now at tight end. I mean, obviously barring injury, but you've got Firkser, Swaim, and now Stocker in there, three veteran guys that you feel good about knowing the system. As you pointed out earlier, the blocking aspect of this in pretty good shape right now from Stocker and Swaim especially. And Firkser having a great training camp so far by all accounts. So, you know, I think there have been some Titans fans out there maybe waiting for a bigger name to be added at tight end, and I don't anticipate that happening at this point. It kind of feels like they could be done, again, barring injury and what could be out there when cuts are made as well. But kind of feels like they're done at that position.
Yeah, you never know. Like you said, I mean, there could be someone, and it's still, I think, a room ripe for an ad if it made sense. And again, Briley Moore, a little bit more on the, you know, the receiving side of tight ends. You know, not a big guy, but he runs well, catches the ball really well. So it's possible, but I agree. It seems more like they're done. I don't think it's some big thing like who they're getting. They have to get someone. By the way, Zach Ertz apparently is lighting up Eagles camp. So
oh, that's good.
In case you're wondering.
They're going to keep him now?
I don't know. But Tommy Hudson is a name I also would not just rule out. I mean, I think you could look at this like Hudson and Stocker are competing for a spot.
Yep.
I mean, I would give Stocker the edge. But Hudson is still someone to keep in mind. He's going to be in there fighting. You know, he's been around, he's a year into the league, Arizona State, bigger guy too. So he's got a chance. Stocker is older. I mean, Stocker is what, 33 years old? Been around. But I thought he filled the role well when he was here before. So
just don't give him the ball on fourth and one. Just give that one to Derrick Henry this time around.
You could do that, I suppose.
It's probably a better option.
Wasn't that the night that was also the night that Mariota. Was he like 25 for 25 or something? Or maybe he had like one incompletion all night and they still lost.
Yeah.
Because of that sequence.
Yeah.
Because Stocker gets blown up and then it's like a 95-yard TD run the next play. Yeah.
That's a heck of a 1-2 good, punch there for the Titans that
good
night.
Good times. Good memories.
Absolutely. Joe Rexroad asked offensive coordinator Todd Downing about the acquisition of Luke Stocker over the weekend at Todd Downing's press conference. Here is what Downing had to say on the new acquisition for the Titans, Luke Stocker.
What's Luke bring to the table? You guys have brought him in, Todd. And how important was it, I guess, to get another bigger, blocking veteran in?
Yeah, I think somebody with that many snaps of blocking a defensive end straight across from him at the professional level, you always love adding pieces like that. He brings, that veteran presence. He's seen a lot of defenses. He's tough. He's gritty. He's smart. You know, he's plug and play, knew the system. So excited to have Luke around.
So that was Todd Downing discussing the acquisition of Luke Stocker. And to your point earlier, I think there's obviously all offseason long been a lot of confidence displayed in Anthony Firkser. And I still believe maybe in a perfect scenario, the plan was to draft a tight end at some point in the draft if you're the Titans, and the board just didn't fall that way. But it's pretty obvious at this point they believe in Anthony Firkser. I mean, Kevin Byard absolutely believes in Anthony Firkser. Had some strong comments on Friday about him.
That's right. We haven't talked about those. Man, the comments are flying.
I mean, Delanie Walker's called Firkser elite, and Kevin Byard said he's going to be a top-flight tight end. Like, I feel like that means the same thing. A lot of love for Anthony Firkser so far in Titans camp.
Well, Byard said he's right up there with Delanie Walker. He said Delanie and Janu. You know, it's funny because, like, again, I'm a Janu stan. Like, I think
you do love some Janu.
I just think he's an extraordinary talent. Now, we'll see what happens with him in New England. But just the Delanie Walker comparison, right up there with Delanie, man. And I'm assuming he means like Delanie when Delanie was a top tight end, and not like right now.
Oh, right. I would hope so.
Yeah, I mean, no, the strong words, and I'm telling you, I don't think Firkser is ever, you know, going to be the all-around tight end like you think about the quintessential NFL tight end who does it all at a high level. And he's not going to be, you know, some of these guys. He's not Tony Gonzalez. He's not going to be like a superstar. But boy, what a find. And again, a guy who came in the league as a fullback, by the way. You know, that was his position, you know, coming out of Harvard, and that's where he was bouncing around with the Chiefs and stuff, and then they tried him here, and he's clearly worked really hard to jump on this opportunity. And I agree with you. I think they were probably going to draft someone, but also maybe the lack of urgency to move up here or whatever kind of shows you also what they feel about Firkser. I mean, the guy makes plays, and he looks very, you know, running routes out there with his feet and everything. He looks really good.
We'll take your thoughts on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com when we come back on the Tennessee Titans. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Also want to get to some rumors floating out there that maybe another defensive player could be coming to the Titans. We'll get to that coming up next. This on Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans, checking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ty texting in. What I love about Ferkser is he catches everything. Very sure-handed, that Anthony Ferkser.
Yeah, he's sure-handed. I think he did have. I think he does have a drop in this camp, for the record. But
just want to point that out. He's not infallible.
Yeah, not perfect, but very confident. I think the quote from Downing was, "Confidence is a very powerful thing." You can see it with Ferkser out there.
Let's go back to the text line. Ben texting in. What's up with the Xavien Howard to the Titans buzz on CBS Sports? And if you've missed it, Xavien Howard
read your mind.
He did. Yeah, did read my mind. And he is obviously an all-pro cornerback with the Miami Dolphins and has requested a trade out of Miami. Now, he also the other day kind of left the door open to maybe getting something resolved there, but he has officially requested a trade at this point. And CBS Sports, Brian DiArdo of CBS Sports, has come out with a piece, you know, with some possible trade destinations for Howard should the Dolphins decide to go that route. And the Cardinals are on the list, Seattle on the list as well, Kansas City, because why not? They're on every list at this point.
Yeah, they have no cap.
New Orleans and the Tennessee Titans as well. And the blurb that DiArdo uses to describe the Titans, quote, Tennessee could use some help at cornerback, especially with first-round pick Caleb Farley currently on the team's physically unable to perform list. Along with acquiring one of the league's premier corners, Howard would give the Titans the luxury of not rushing Farley onto the field. The Titans would have two veteran corners in Howard and Jenkins, along with youngsters Farley and Christian Fulton. The Titans have future draft equity to make this deal work. The real challenge would be reworking their current salary cap situation. Quote, there are parentheses, they are 21st in the league in available cap space. What do you think of Xavien Howard being, I guess, linked to the Titans there?
Well,
that's something that John Robinson should look at.
Well, I mean, they'd love to have him, I'm sure, but make it make sense. I can't. I can't make the numbers work. They got about $6 million in cap space.
Yeah.
And he's got, what, a $15 million cap hit?
Yeah.
And they've already kicked the can to get Julio in here. So I just
keep kicking it, man.
Hey, when the Julio stuff first emerged, I was like, get out of here. There's no way. They can't make it work. They made it work. At some point, you can't keep making things work. Unless you're trading salary back. I mean, do the Dolphins want... Do the Titans feel the urgency at corner to the extent that they would send back a productive veteran with a sizable cap hit? Who would the Dolphins love on this roster that would make a difference for them this year?
Roger Saffold. And if I'm the Titans, I'm not doing that.
I was going to say like an interior offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Like a Saffold. Send back Saffold and Jenkins. I keep trying to trade away Jackrabbit Jenkins. By the way, I've been calling him Janoris Jenkins the whole time, okay?
Yeah.
Because that's his given name. That's what it says on the roster. But the roster now says Jackrabbit. So
I'm cool with it.
If the roster says Jackrabbit Jenkins, then there you go.
Ben Arthur put Jackrabbit in the Tennessean the other day. Jackrabbit Jenkins.
Okay.
We're going with it.
All right, we're going with Jackrabbit.
By the way, pretty good day for Jackrabbit the other day, apparently. Two picks.
Yeah, this is true. Two picks of Tannehill.
Of Tannehill,
in
yeah.
fact. So, yeah, he's making plays. He looks good out there. That's the thing. So, if you want to, move him, there's what's his cap hit? About five. Yeah, almost five. You know, move him and Saffold and bring in Howard. Then the numbers work.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to do that.
I don't think they're going to do that either. I don't think it'll get to the – I mean, I think what we just did, talking about it, is the deepest those talks will get. That's just my guess.
Now, we did both say the same thing about Julio Jones.
No, I know. I understand.
But I think the Julio Jones thing makes this less likely.
Well, it does. And also, Jenkins is playing well.
Yep.
Fulton, to me, looks fine. Fulton's interesting because I don't feel like Fulton's had a lot of action in team. But sometimes that's a credit to a cornerback.
Yeah.
There was a great rep with A.J. Brown, just a go route against Fulton. And I don't think it was Tannehill throwing the pass, but it was a fantastic play. A.J. Brown almost made the catch over shoulder. It would have been an unbelievable grab. But I tell you what, Fulton, step for step. I mean, it was an impressive rep for Fulton. Haven't seen a lot, so they have him, or they have those two. They have Farley. I mean, their first round pick has brought in to help this. So I don't see them making a bunch of changes at a position that they've already done so much to address. We'll see if what they've done is going to work, but that's kind of questioning yourself, isn't it?
Yeah.
Before you even know if what you've done is good.
Well, apparently Breon Borders is lighting up. So you could just put Breon Borders out there.
Apparently
he's having a heck of a camp.
He is. He has three picks in the first 4 days. So he's all over the place. Chris Jackson looks good. I mean, I will say this is another, like, pump your brakes. Racy McMath's going to be a superstar. Anthony Firkser is the next George Kittle. This defense is going to be top 10. Like, everybody pump your brakes. But I will say defensive depth, there's some promising signs on that front. And I would also look at the D-line. Again, no pads yet, but Laurel Murchison, Tyre Tart, who were two of the four offseason winners, along with Firkser, along with Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, by the way.
That's right.
Those guys are in shape and look quick. And even in these team drills, they are getting off the line and causing trouble for the interior of the line at times.
Ben texting in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Signing Jack Rabbit and then trading him before a single game would hurt Titans in future negotiations also.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to happen, but it's the NFL. I mean, the teams cut guys all the time. They cut beloved veterans all the time. Jarrell Casey, bye-bye. Delaney Walker, see you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens at every single market, so that's... You can use stuff like that against every team in this league.
Ty texting back in. Y'all talking about these defensive backs making picks. It's got me worried about the quarterbacks.
There you go. I mean,
the other day people were worried about the defense.
Right, like A.J. Brown's light. What's wrong with our DBs? I will say this. We were kind of joking among the press corps about the Tannehill. You know, Tannehill hasn't been very sharp. He has not been great. We were joking about, like, how long does it take until, like, league-wide it's like, uh-oh, the Titans have a problem at quarterback. I would not be too concerned. You know, the thing is, Tannehill has made a lot of very good passes, for the most part, looks in control. He's taken some chances, and he's paying for it right now. But it's also...
But isn't now kind of time to do that?
Yes, exactly. If he keeps throwing picks all through camp, then at some point, you know, we can talk about worry about Tannehill. He had one pick, and it was Amani Hooker's second pick of camp. That was just a terrible underthrow. Other than that, basically it's just letting it rip and trying to fit it into tight spaces and paying for it right now.
Yeah.
He looks good chasing after guys after they make picks.
He hasn't tackled anybody yet, I hope.
I mean, he's gotten in there and tried to smack the ball away.
Yeah,
okay. You know, so... Working on that. We all saw what he did in Oakland a couple years ago.
Well, I mean, I'm interested to see what happens when the pads go on because, like, to your point, that's when you get kind of a better read on the big boys up front and the battle going on there. But I think it's got to be at least encouraging if you're a Titans fan to see Breon Borders making some plays, to see Jackrabbit Jenkins out there making some plays. I mean – how many times did we have cornerbacks making plays last year? Not very often. I mean, he's basically Malcolm Butler, and that was about it for the Titans a year ago. So you and I have talked about this extensively. Like, they've got to get to the point where they are forcing more turnovers. You know, forget, you know, playing better defense as a whole. We've talked about that. Obviously, that's important. But a way to do that, keep your offense on the field. Start forcing more turnovers and intercepting the ball. Didn't do that very often last year. It's got to be something that improves this year.
No doubt. And I think the secondary looks good. And we will see when you get into a real game and you're going against a really good offense.
Yep.
We'll see if they affect quarterbacks or not. I mean, that's just hard to have any idea about now. And again, you can be Deion Sanders across the board and you will give up.
That's Coach Prime to you.
That's right. And you will give up pass plays if you don't affect the quarterback. And also, let's remember Malcolm Butler, for example. I remember his first camp. Oh, man, he's talking trash. He's breaking up passes, picking and it's just, oh, this guy. And then
how did Belichick let this guy get away?
Right, in the first half of the season, it's just, good. No, it was Jonathan Joseph-ish. Of course, then he figured it out, and he was good.
Was it that bad?
No, it wasn't that bad. I'm sorry. I feel bad. Sorry, Malcolm. But it was a little bit of like, oh, yeah, don't let training camp fool you too much.
I was happy to see the training camp fights the other day, or fights in air quotes, the fights. That's when you know that you're in one, and football season's officially back. Didn't get a whole lot of that last year. Everybody was trying to stay away from each other as much as possible.
That's true. Yeah. No, it was there was some intensity. And just the overall defense, like the sideline of the defense, because they made a lot of plays, and the sideline was on fire. Like, they are into it, and good for them. Like, they have a good collective feeling. There were some strong words, Landry and David Long, about how they're coming together and everything. And I would again say, I want to see it with Julio Jones on the field. I want to see it with Derrick Henry on the field. I want to see it with Taylor Lewan on the field. If you shut down this offense then, and by the way, they probably won't see those guys much at all.
Probably not.
You know, but it's still probably, what would you like to have right now? The offense just lighten it up, or would you like the defense to get a little bit of confidence?
That's what I'm saying. Just get that defense as confident as possible heading into the season, and I think we know, as long as they're healthy, that offense should take care of itself, largely. Should be some pretty good pieces there. Especially if A.J. Brown looks like the second coming of Terrell Owens.
Listen, I'll jump on that hyperbole train.
I'm not saying that you're wrong.
Guys,
it looks pretty,
guys,
pretty awesome.
Again, last year, he's hurt all year.
Yeah?
And he had 1,100 yards and 75 catches or whatever it was, and 11 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Including, like, running through the entire Ravens defense from the 10 into the end zone.
Yeah.
Injured.
Get two good knees out there, what can you do?
Right.
It's going to be pretty fun to watch A.J. Brown this year in this Titans offense. When we come back, have the Titans already wrapped up this division before the season even begins? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.